This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Power at the point, trying to just get that to the net. Nice pass, Peterka scores! What a pass, and Quinn with the finish! Out of the corner, plays it back. Here's a shot, scores! Welcome Jacob Bernard Docker with a dart against his former team, ties the game at two. Benson in behind the goal. Zetterlund can't handle him in front. Thompson scores! Zach Benson does the work and takes Thompson with the finish. 1:15 to go. Shot stopped by Reimer. Oh, he read that play perfectly. Prime time Reimer right there for the Buffalo Sabres as he steps up to make that stop.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Just as everyone predicted in year 14 of the drought, on March 26th of 2025, that James Reimer would be the best Buffalo Sabre on the ice.
Yes, sir.
In back-to-back
games.
Two nights
in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just as we drew it up, Reimer, who they waived earlier in the season, got claimed, went to another team. They said, nah, we're good. We'll send him back. And he's their best player through two games, last two games at least. Good morning, it's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy off. Dave Geary is in.
Good morning.
That game was an interesting game.
Yeah.
They win.
They do.
They spoil Cousins' return. There's a tribute video that some people are upset about because it didn't give Cousins 100% of the real estate. It was split between Cousins and Dennis Gilbert.
Who? Just kidding.
Well, I mean, Somebody might be asking that question because he is from Buffalo, but he played in... How many games do you think he played in for the Sabres?
Nine.
It was more than nine.
14.
25.
Okay.
25 games. Yeah.
It's 25 games in era. What would we call that? Would we call it a window?
An era.
The Dennis Gilbert window?
It's the Gilbert... It's smaller than an era. I feel like it's also smaller than a window.
Than a stay? What about a stay?
It's the Gilbert segment.
Ah, the segment.
The segment,
yes,
maybe.
Segment, literally, because 25 games, you know, our segment goes 25 minutes.
Yeah.
There it is, Joe.
Era is a long time.
Era's, I think, years.
The only thing above era is like eon.
Decades.
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah. Span.
The Gilberts.
The Gilbert spam. Do we care for real? Do we actually care that it was a little weird, right? I probably wouldn't have made that decision, but the Sabres create a tribute video that they played during the break, as they would often do when a player's back, and it's Cousins and Gilbert for Ottawa. Cousins, who was here for 5 years and played hundreds of games for the Sabres, and Gilbert, who was here for 1 year and played 26 games. And they, was it 50-50 that they split the video? Or 75-25?
75-20.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm uncomfortable putting percentages on it.
Okay.
To be honest.
So we shouldn't care, right?
I feel like the fact that we are talking percentages is, it's uncomfortable for me.
But. Yeah. The Gilbert trial, the chat is already...
Yes, they're fired up already. Love it.
Yeah, morning to the chat. Oh, man. You have no idea. The bullpen, they're in here yelling at each other before we've even gone on the air.
Buddy, after the show, I mean, there was a full tweet thread about, you know, who's going to win in our 40-yard dash race. A lot of good takes, some bad ones.
And a poll that is absolutely ridiculous that sees you 60% thinking you're going to beat me in a 40-yard dash.
I mean, people are realizing, they're like, you know, one guy was an athlete, the other guy hosts a radio show.
I was a recreational athlete.
Not
I wouldn't
to
give
be,
myself more
not
than that.
To be dismissed.
You know, I was on the varsity football team, but snap count wasn't very high. we'll go with recreational athlete. With that being said, we'll do that at some point. Give me a week. Give me a few days.
Yeah, we had to get you cleared first.
Yeah,
we got to get you cleared.
I'm not risking
first.
My entire golf calendar on.
I
on
wouldn't
this.
Either. I went to the place where I go get stretched yesterday. Went to PT. You actually,
he's already doing the work.
I impromptu scheduled
Check
a stretch and PT after the conversation yesterday. So
I think random drug test maybe before we get rolling here. Aaron Ekblad recently had that happen. Let's do it. Oh, we'll do it. We'll do it. We're going to do a 40-yard dash.
When I clearly win by, like, you know, a couple steps, people are like, Gary needs to get randomly drug tested. He's juicing. He juiced for the
40-yard
dash.
I don't even think that would help you, probably.
No. If anything, I think it's would add some water weight or whatever. You know? I don't need any more weight.
Anyways, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe, Nate in. We will get to a lot today. The Sabres game, from last night. It also, speaking of the Sabres, it's a fun little anniversary for the Sabres that we'll get to in a little bit. An anniversary that is near and dear to my heart, but that a little bit later on. The big news from yesterday, I think, well, you tell me. League-wide, it's probably that the Giants signed Russell Wilson. And that they are showing their desperation at quarterback. Which, fair, right? Like, well, is it even fair? They have Jameis Winston in the building already. Should they have felt like they also need Russell Wilson on top of Jameis Winston?
Yeah.
It's a weird move.
It's definitely a weird move.
When you already have Winston, at least.
And here's the thing, too, is I'm not sure it really takes them out of contention to draft a quarterback. But how about this? It shouldn't. If they liked Shedeur Sanders yesterday at 2:00, they should still like him this morning at 6:09. Like that, I don't think that should change anything. But
yeah,
I think what it does signal is they are in arguably the worst position of any team in the NFL.
Yeah.
Outside of the Cleveland Browns.
It's those two. The teams that draft 2 and 3, they're really being punished because there's no second quarterback in this draft that is worth that pick. I saw a mock draft yesterday where the Giants actually trade back into the first round and grab Shedeur Sanders at like 27. So there are some that think he's going to the end of the first round. At least I haven't seen many that think he falls out
of
the first
round. I think a lot of people are talking Jackson. Here's the thing. There's a lot of momentum. I think, at least a notable amount of momentum that Jackson Dart looks like a guy that's going to get drafted in the back end of the first. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a scenario where Jackson Dart goes ahead of Shedeur Sanders. Right? I mean, I don't think.
Probably. I would bet Sanders goes first. Before the two.
I think for me, this is the tough part if you're the Giants, if you're Joe Shane, this is the tough part about the NFL is they had no choice but to, I don't know that I love the way they handled the Daniel Jones situation, to be honest. That was your making, your decision, and then midway through the season last year when it was going predictably bad, you pulled the rug, and you didn't really have a good plan behind Daniel Jones. Part of this is not the makings of or the because of the lack of talent at the top end of this quarterback class. It's how they've – it's a little bit of how we looked at how the Bills have been building the wide receiver room over the last couple of years, is you had Diggs and Davis – and you didn't really backload it. You did not prepare for those guys moving on. And if you're the Giants, the Giants went into last season feeling like, okay, well, we just got rid of Saquon Barkley, and we're on Hard Knocks, and it kind of feels like the coach and GM are on a hot seat. They might not make it through the season. DeVito and a you know, coming off
Drew
of an
Locke
ACL.
Was the other one.
Drew Locke, and then coming off an ACL, Daniel Jones. You guys, they had no other plan at that position. And then they come into this offseason, and the plan is, well, Rodgers. Rodgers is the plan. Holy cow. It's just so, I don't know. I guess I look at, and I should figure this, but, you know, the Brian Gain, you know, I don't know, era in Houston lasted 1 year.
Yeah.
It didn't go well in Houston for Brian Gain.
Yeah.
He comes back to Buffalo. Joe Shane leaves. And year one looks great. I mean, year one looked great for them. Did Dable win Coach of the Year?
Dable won Coach of the Year.
Okay. Yeah. And they went to the playoffs, whatever, with Daniel Jones.
And won a playoff game.
Since then, the roster building, the decisions, and to be honest, and to be clear, I think the right decision was moving on from Saquon Barkley. So I don't think that – I don't
Me
look
too.
At that as a negative or a takeaway for Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, because I think that was the right decision. But I don't know where – it is a franchise without a direction, and it's been that way for a decade plus. And at least the Cleveland Browns, you can look at it and say, well – they really tried to go all in with the quarterback, and they got hoodwinked. They got bamboozled. Like, he was bad, and they signed a bad quarterback to a really large contract, and he hasn't been able to stay on the field.
Yeah.
That is, like, you could look at it and say, that is one thing. This dismantled everything. If Deshaun Watson was the Deshaun Watson of 5 years ago, I think there's a good chance Cleveland's pretty damn good. And you're probably overlooking a lot of why they did the move and what they did it in despite of, just because he's good. That's what happens in pro sports. But there's not really one thing. There's not one unraveling move that the Giants have done. It has been a slow bleed, and they had a one-season like sample size where you thought, maybe Dable really can coach. Maybe Shane can do this. And now I think both... one of them, I think Shane's destined to be back here in a year, and Dable's probably going to be back in the offensive coordinator game. Dable's done enough to me damage to his professional reputation. I wonder if he's got to go back to the college game. I wonder that.
I think he would still get an offensive coordinator job in the NFL, but maybe. I agreed when they got rid of Barkley. This, by the way, this is funny. This was a preamble to the setup. We'll get to Diggs, too, in New England. But we did get rolling on the Giants here a little bit. I liked when they moved on from Barkley, and for the very same reason that Joe Shane said in that Hard Knocks clip from last year, which was, basically, we need to find out if our quarterback's good or not.
Yeah.
Now, I feel like that was misguided because... he had been there for 5 seasons already. You should have a pretty good idea of how good Daniel Jones is after 5 years, and only one of them actually went that well. And it went okay. He was pretty much a game manager. He had 15 touchdowns and 5 interceptions the year that he was good and made the playoffs and won a playoff game. Low event football for Daniel Jones in the 1 year that he was good. You should have known, but okay, you want to go a year and really find out. So let's not overpay Barkley. We're going to give him Neighbors. We're going to build up the offensive line. That's what they did. And it didn't go well. To your point, I think they should have known how likely it was that when we try to find out what Daniel Jones really is, that it's not going to go well for us. We're going to find out he's not it, And we need to be ready with a plan of action to replace him. And they didn't have that. And then they got to this offseason, and they still didn't really have that. I've got a couple of friends that are Giants fans, and all they want is just Arch Manning. They yeah. want this team to stay at the bottom, and they want to get Arch Manning, or they want to get one of these quarterbacks at the top next year. Not to rush it now and pick Sanders or to pick Jackson Dart or whoever. But here's the thing. I actually feel like with Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston at quarterback, I don't think they're great. But that team could win 7 or 8 games.
100%.
The roster is not that bad. There are holes, but there are good players around
the roster.
You're
better off going with Tommy. This is the conundrum that franchises like the Giants face,
yeah.
which is what is middling accomplishing?
Right.
What is you? Because it feels like the coach and GM are lame ducks.
I think the one of them probably has to win, right?
The coach, you could be
more
right.
than the GM. Yeah, but if they won 5 games this year, I don't think Dable survives that. I think Shane could. Shane could get another kick at it.
Shane could.
Another coach hire.
To pick a quarterback.
No, he didn't. That is really why I wonder about it. They haven't got their own guy. You know, I tend to think, reading about the Giants and just thinking about how Shane and Dable went through it here. Shane was here. Dable wasn't here yet. He comes in at the end of this, you know, sequence. When the Bills make the playoffs, their first year with Tyrod Taylor, they did not get hung up on, oh, well, we should re-sign him. And even as a bridge quarterback, that wasn't in their plans. It was, no, we're trading him. We're trading him away immediately because we're moving on to our next guy. We had a good game manager, and we need to be better. The Giants... Shane, Dable, they would have gone through that experience and known just because we made the playoffs with a guy that throws 15 touchdowns and 5 interceptions does not mean we should lock ourselves into that guy for the long term. And then what did they do? They locked themselves into that guy for the long term. That's where I tend to think that was a lot of ownership. That ownership wanted to keep Daniel Jones.
That's right.
And that might be a big reason why they're not fired right now, because the owner knows... I stuck them with that guy. I'm not going to fire them because Daniel Jones sunk them. I'm going to give them another shot at it. But that's what they're trying to figure out right now. What if there is no other shot at it? What if there is no quarterback that you like in this offseason? Do you take Sanders just because, well, that buys us time and we'll see if we can figure him out? Shane deep down might think it's better off for this organization and for me if we sit here at the bottom, we play, you know, Drew Lock at quarterback, Tommy DeVito, just a nobody at quarterback all year long, and we win 4 games, and then we're at the top of the draft next year, and that's when we make our pick. And he might not do it because he's not sure he'll have the job by then. That if that sequence plays out, and they do only win 4 games, no matter who's at quarterback, I'm not going to be the guy making that selection. Very interesting context and circumstance to where they're at. So they get Wilson probably just to win as many games as they can this year. And good luck. That's that division now with the Super Bowl champion Eagles and the Commanders, who look awesome. And that's the quarterback you might want over anybody else in the NFC right now.
And the Cowboys will be better. I mean, they're going to have Dak Prescott. Dak's back.
Like, that's probably the toughest division in football.
I forget that Brian Schottenheim.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Where is their coach? Holy crap.
In Dallas? Yeah, yes men. They love their yes men in Dallas.
Unbelievable.
So, Wilson to New York. So, that definitely locks in Rodgers to Pittsburgh, right? There's nowhere else
way.
He could go,
well,
right?
I
he could retire.
I saw something that said maybe he... waits. Maybe he just pauses everything, forces things to play out a little bit, wait till after the draft, and see where Minnesota is again. I mean, he wants to play in Minnesota.
So Minnesota called Tannehill, right? That's the report.
Yep.
They probably want a veteran guy next to McCarthy. Not just because McCarthy has never played. He also has this injury that he had surgery on and then had a setback in the middle of last year, had to go in for another surgery. But is Rodgers the type of guy that they want next to McCarthy all next year? If you're Minnesota, I could see why that is just does not sound like a good idea at all. What would be, to me, be the funniest outcome right now of what's left is Rodgers leaving the Steelers at the altar and just deciding, you know, he's a quirky guy. He's a weird dude. He might just decide, you know what? I'm good. I'm done. I'm going to walk away. I had an Achilles injury a couple years ago. I played one more year. I came back. I'm fine. I'm done here. So he walks away, leaves the Steelers at the altar for nothing left, really.
Yeah.
There's nothing left. Wilson's gone. The Giants grabbed two of them, Winston and Wilson. And I don't know where else they would turn. It's got for them. Rodgers almost gains leverage on Pittsburgh because, hey.
Oh, he certainly gains leverage.
You're not, the Giants are gone, but you're not bidding against the Giants anymore. Because Wilson is off the table, you now, here, you're going to pay me $35 million or else I'm leaving. I'm retiring.
Yeah.
And then good luck with Mason Rudolph as your quarterback this year.
Right.
So Steelers might actually be put in a tough spot. The other team that we'll talk about today at 8 o'clock, Jonathan Peterlin's going to join us from The Fan in Cleveland. You said before we got going here, or maybe you did, it was on the air, that the Giants were the most desperate team, worst quarterback situation in the league, and Cleveland's the other one, right?
Yes.
Because right now, their opening day starter, the favorite is probably Kenny Pickett? He's there.
Is that right?
He's on the team.
Who else is? Right, Jameis is
Watson, but he's not.
They
he's...
traded, they traded what's his name for Pickett.
They traded who for Pickett? Dorian Thompson Robinson?
Yeah, the kid from UCLA.
DTR?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not there anymore. It's just Watson and Pickett. That's their roster of quarterback right now. Watson and Pickett.
Yeah, so
it's going to be a staring contest between Cleveland and New York in this draft. Who's going to be the desperate team that takes the quarterback that might not be worth the second or third
pick? I still think, whether it's day of draft, June, Kirk Cousins is going to be in Cleveland.
You got Cousins in Cleveland?
There's no way Atlanta hangs on to him. They don't really have another backup, though. That's the thing. Well, don't they have...
They'd have to sign somebody, I think.
Don't they have, what's his name? They used to play for... Washington?
Heinicke?
They might have Heinicke.
I think he went somewhere else.
Did he?
Yeah, Kansas City.
Okay.
I think.
We could, listen, if
no,
they need...
No, Minshew went to Kansas
they
City.
They need a slightly used Mitchell Trubisky.
You know what we need here? Once upon a time, we had the quarterback big board.
Oh,
we
had
all the backup quarterbacks of the league.
Sure.
I might need that, because where is Taylor Heinicke right now? Is a great question.
Where in the world is Taylor Heinicke?
He is not in Atlanta. It's Penix, it's Cousins, and it's someone named Emory Jones.
Oh, Emory, yeah.
Taylor Heinicke is on the L.A. Chargers.
Okay.
Still?
Oh, that's right. He's their primary backup now.
Okay. Yeah.
Over, he re-signed
there?
Over, what's his name?
Billy Volek.
Jeez, what a name. No. I was thinking, well, now...
They have
now,
another backup?
Now you're getting
Easton
my...
Easton Stick.
But you just unlocked like some backup, whatever, like the little spot in my brain that holds information about like old backup quarterback names.
Yeah. Maybe I'll put together some backup quarterback trivia later and we can.
Billy Volek.
Some backup
it's not
quarterback
as good
rando.
As Charlie Whitehurst, though. Because
those
that guy.
Those are both
aura,
good Charger backups.
Aura. He had the wide sleeves.
Yeah.
The one wristband. Like just the aura with the grizzly beard, the long hair,
yes.
the cotton chin strap, the oh my god! Just,
I do believe he has a nickname. I'm gonna go to Pro Football Reference because
the workhorse from
no. Well, you're about to Dylan Cousins.
Whitehurst.
Name. No, that's not the nickname. Oh yeah, here. Okay, so it is official. It's on his reference page. Charlie Whitehurst's nickname is Clipboard Jesus. Clipboard Jesus.
This show is going to be electric today.
Yeah. We'll get some backup quarterback rando in a little bit later on. The Sabres win last night over the Ottawa Senators. Ottawa fans losing their mind, I saw on social media last night, that they lost all three meetings to the Sabres this year. and scored one goal at even strength in those three games. Ottawa did. So the Sabres get the win last night. We'll chat about that. There's an anniversary for the Sabres today that I want to get to. And get your phone calls on this. 803-0550. Stephon Diggs to New England. Two-part question. One, do you care enough to be mad at it? And two, does this change your opinion of New England at all? I am thinking a lot more about Diggs is only part of it. New England and their ability to challenge the Bills in the AFC East. I still don't think it's coming around the corner.
He doesn't move the needle for me
all. Well, let's get to that. Because New England, I like him a lot from early last year in Houston. It's just, does he have that left after ripping his knee apart? We'll get to that. 803-0550.
If Charlie Batch was throwing him the ball, maybe.
And you can mix in your backup quarterback, Rando, throughout the day. We might just mix it in into every conversation that there is.
I mean, that would be a very John Kitna thing to do.
Oh, here we go. Off and running. Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary. This is WGR.